BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hector. Achilles screams. Hector! He tears through the advancing Trojan ranks, scattering chests and faces, marking them with the meteor of his fury. Chest heaving, Hector races towards Troy's wide river, now a muddied, churning red, choked with corpses and armor. He gains the other shore. Achilles leaps to follow. There is a grove at the base of Troy's high walls. It is there that Hector, at last, stops running. The two men face each other. Achilles lifts his ashen spear. No, I beg him. It is his own death he holds, his own blood that will spill. Hector's eyes are wide. Grant me this. Give my body to my family when you have killed me. Achilles makes a sound like choking. There are no bargains between lions and men. I will kill you and eat you raw. His spear point flies in a dark whirlwind to catch the hollow at Hector's throat. Achilles returns to the tent where my body waits. He is rust red, as if he has swum in the vast, dark chambers of a heart. He is dragging Hector's body behind him, pierced through its heels with a leather thong. Achilles rises at dawn to drag Hector's body around the walls of the city for all of Troy to see. He does it again at midday, and again at evening. He does not see the Greeks begin to avert their eyes from him. Thetis is waiting for him in the tent. What do you want?
You must stop this. Apollo is angry. He seeks vengeance upon you.
Let him. He kneels, smooths back the hair on my forehead.
Achilles, listen to me. You go too far in this.
What does it matter? He is dead. Can your power bring him back?
No, nothing can. He is mortal, and mortals die. I am mortal. What good is Godhead if it cannot do this? I know you are mortal.
She places each cold word as a tile in a mosaic.
I left you too long on Pelion. It has ruined you.
She gestures, a flick, at his tear-stained face.
This is not my son. You act like a child. At 12, Pyrrhus, your son, is more of a man than you.
Pyrrhus? The word is a gasp.
He will come and Troy will fall. The city cannot be taken without him, the fates say.
Achilles stares.
You would bring him here?
He is the next, Aristos, Achaeon.
I am not dead yet.
You may as well be.
The words are a lash.
I am done. There is no more I can do to save you.
Her black eyes seem to contract like dying stars.
I am glad that he is dead.
It is the last thing she will ever say to him. An old man comes to our tent. He is filthy, his robes wet from swimming the river.
I have come for my son, he says.
The king of Troy moves across the room to kneel at Achilles' feet.
Will you hear a father's prayer, mighty prince of Phthia?
Achilles stares down at the man's shoulders. They are trembling with age, stooped with the burdens of grief.
I beg you to return my son's body for burial, so his soul does not wander lost.
As he speaks, he is careful not to let himself look at the shadow, face down in the corner.
You show courage to come here alone, Achilles says.
How did you know I would not kill you?
I did not know, said Priam. There is silence. Priam's eyes find the other body, mine, lying on the bed. That is your friend. I am sorry, Priam says, that it was my son who took him from you. Yet in grief, men must help each other, though they are enemies. Nothing moves in the tent. Then Achilles stands. I will have my servants prepare your son's body. When they are gone, he slumps next to me, his face against my belly. My skin grows slippery under the steady fall of his tears. The next day he carries me to the pyre. The flames surround me and I feel myself slipping further from life, thinning to only the faintest shiver in the air. I yearn for the darkness and silence of the underworld, where I can rest. He puts my ashes in a golden urn and turns to the watching Greeks.
When I am dead, I charge you to mingle our ashes and bury us together.
Within the walls of Troy, a bow is strung by rushing hands. An arrow is selected, and princely feet hurry upstairs to a tower that tilts over a battlefield of dead and dying, where a god is waiting. It is easy for Paris to find his target. The man moves slowly, like a lion grown wounded and sick, but his gold hair is unmistakable. Paris knocks his arrow.
Where do I aim? He is a man, Apollo says, not a god. Shoot him and he will die.
Paris aims. The god touches his finger to the arrow's fletching, and the arrow flies, straight and silent, towards Achilles' back. Achilles smiles as his face strikes the earth. Agamemnon calls a council to discuss the tomb they will build. We should put it on the field where he fell, Nestor says.
On the hill, I think, Odysseus says.
I have come to take my father's place. A clear voice cuts across the room. A boy stands framed in the tent's doorway. His hair is bright red. He is beautiful, but coldly so. A winter's morning. Only the dullest would not know which father he means.
I am the son of Achilles, he announces.
The kings are staring. Most did not even know Achilles had a child. Only Odysseus has the wits to speak.
May we know the name of Achilles' son?
My name is Neoptolemus, called Pyrrhus. Lord of Mycenae, I offer myself to your army.
Agamemnon's face is caught between disbelief and displeasure.
You do not seem old enough.
I have lived with the gods beneath the sea, he says. I come now to win the war for you.
What? Agamemnon is aghast. If it is so, we are indeed glad to have you, Menelaus says. We were talking of your father's tomb and where to build it. On the hill, Odysseus says again. Menelaus nods. A fitting place for them.
Them?
There is a slight pause.
Your father and his companion, Patroclus.
And why should this man be buried beside Aristos Achaeon?
The air is thick. They are all waiting to hear Menelaus's answer.
It was your father's wish, Prince Neoptolemus, that their ashes be placed together.
Pyrrhus lifts his sharp chin.
A slave has no place in his master's tomb. I will not allow my father's fame to be diminished.
Do not leave me here without him.
Very well, Agamemnon says. It shall be as you say.
I am air and thought and can do nothing. The stone the Greeks quarry for his grave is huge and white. Achilles, it reads. That night, Pyrrhus sends for Briseis.
The guards hold her arms as they walk her to the tent. She kneels.
My lord.
My father broke with the army for you. You must have been a good bed slave.
Briseis's eyes are at their darkest. My lord, I do not believe it was for me that he refused to fight.
Why then were you not his bed slave?
My lord, I was never so fortunate. She hesitates. Have you heard of the man that is buried with your father?
He is no one.
Yet your father loved him well. He had no need of me.
Silence! The word cracks over her like a lash. He stands. Come here. I cannot see where the blade comes from. It is in her hand, but he is quick, twisting away.
Briseis erupts from the tent, down the beach, into the sea. Pyrrhus calmly takes a spear. She is past the breakers now. The spear flies soundless. Its point hits her back. The black gulp of water swallows her whole. The prophecy told truly. Now that Pyrrhus has come, Troy falls. The bones of the city are cracked and sucked dry. The Greek kings stuff their holds with its gold columns and princesses.
Do not leave, I beg them, not until you have given me peace.
I curl myself around the stone obelisk of his tomb. He has gone to the underworld, and I am here. The sun is setting over the sea, spilling its colours on the water's surface. Thetis is beside me, silent in the creeping dusk. Every day she comes. She sits at the tomb's base. Let the stories of him be something more.
What more?
She says. For once I am not afraid. Returning Hector's body, I say. His skill with the lyre. His beautiful voice. Her mouth tightens.
Have you no more memories?
I am made of memories.
Speak then.
The memories well up like spring water. This, I say, this and this. The way his hair looked in summer sun. His face when he ran. She closes her eyes. She listens. And she too remembers.
I could not make him a god,
she says.
But you made him.
She does not answer me for a long time, only sits with the last of the dying light.
I have done it,
she says finally. At first I do not understand, but then I see the tomb and the marks she has made. Achilles, it reads, and beside it, Patroclus.
Go, she says. He waits for you.
In the darkness, two shadows reaching through the hopeless, heavy dusk. Their hands meet, and light spills in a flood, like 100 golden urns pouring out the sun.